Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Superhost Unveiled. In this episode, Stephanie, Julia, and I are talking about an often forgotten part of our business, which is fall cleanups, deep cleans, safety issues regarding smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, you name it. We go through the gamut from A to Z, and be sure to listen at the end where Stephanie reveals that she has a giveaway in this episode for all of our listeners. So really excited about this episode. I think it came out great, and I hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to the Superhost Unveiled podcast, where a small family created a thriving vacation rental business in the heart of the White Mountains. Founded by husband and wife duo Peter and Julia Plord, with the help of their business-savvy daughter Hannah, Peter was able to leave his full-time job and move him and his wife to their dream location. Together, we'll discuss the secrets of building a successful vacation rental business and beyond. Pack your bags, let's check in for the journey of your life. Here are your superhosts, Hannah and Peter Plord.
Welcome, everybody, to Superhost Unveiled. I'm very excited today. We have a great episode planned. And for the first time, it's her debut. Stephanie Wildener is our co-host today. Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
And also, we have Miss Julia Plord on the podcast today. Hello, Julia.
Hello.
And, you know, nothing like co-hosting your first ever podcast. You were a guest a couple of weeks ago, and I kind of put you on the spot at the end of the episode and said, would you want to do this? And you said yes. So here we are. And nothing like, you know, I guess taking charge of the first episode, because you're like, I have something I really want to talk about. I think it fits with the seasons we're in. And I couldn't agree more. And then you sent me this fall maintenance checklist that you all have. And I think it's really spot on. So today we're going to talk about the importance of seasonal maintenance for your properties. And just before we started recording, Stephanie and I were both just talking about this. I didn't even think about this, you know, when I first launched my own property as an Airbnb. And honestly, I honestly didn't really spend much time thinking about it when we launched our company, but it is so important. Steph, do you want to just kind of, I don't know, talk about maybe like how many evolutions of this that you've had and how did it come about initially?
I would say yearly, we add to it. It came about when I began realizing that owners buy up here, but they don't necessarily understand home maintenance and the aspect that we do as far as a rental. We don't want crisis after crisis popping up with especially the change of seasons. So owners may not necessarily, I would say what spearheaded this was we used to send this to the owners and say, here's what you need to do. They never winterized their outdoor spigot, their water spigot outside, which led to a pipe bursting and it flooded their entire basement. And we kind of just trusted that they were doing it because we told them to, and they didn't see the importance of it. And this happened on Christmas Eve, and it was their stay that they were coming at. I don't want to say thankfully, because it probably ruined their time too. And it was just a great big mess. So we started taking control a little bit more and looking over what needs to be done and saying, this is what you need to do. And we're kind of at the point of, this is what you need to do to stay with us. Like, these minimum things have got to happen because you'll have problems at your property if you don't. And some of them are pretty big safety issues, you know, fire extinguishers and smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors. We can take that for granted that they're all working, but they need to be checked seasonally.
Yeah, that's a great story. And I have a couple of questions just based off what you said. So now, I'm guessing what you've done is you send this checklist out to your entire ownership group, correct?
No, we do this ourselves. Okay. I made a pretty one for you. Ours is just a basic one that we go through. And I wanted to make it pretty if people want to download it, but we go through and then my husband will meet with the owner and say, hey, these are the things we need to do. But as part of kind of our deep cleaning part that we do in the fall, the maintenance follows suit with that. So I would say it's not really just fall maintenance. I would say we're getting ready for winter up here because we're in leaf changing season, but winter can come really quick and we need to be ready for that change.
Yeah, absolutely. So for example, I think I saw on here, we can go through the list in more detail, but I saw like, you know, get your furnace inspected and maintenance, you know, maintain, which I send that email out obviously at the beginning of every change, well, before the winter, you know, right now, basically. And, you know, some owners will do it. Some owners might not. I don't really follow up on that. Are you saying that you make that call for them to, like, you make, so for like, if it's a propane company that does it, for example, White Mountain does it on my house, you would make that call for the owner?
Depending on the relationship with the owner. So it depends on how much they want us to do. Some people hand the keys and say, just take care of everything. You know, we have one of our owners is in the military and is deployed. So he just wants us to do it all for him. Some are a little more proactive. We used to just do kind of the same thing. Hey, you need to do these things like septic pumping. And they would say, yep, yep, yep. And it wouldn't happen. And then when a septic backs up on your guest, which has happened, you know, then they kind of realize it. So now in the onboarding process, we say, hey, listen, these are the things that you're going to need to do to keep your vacation rental running smoothly and continue to provide a guest, good guest experience and to protect your investment. And so we go into it saying we can't mandate they clean their furnace. We recommend it. I'm pretty strict on the septic now because we've had issues. It's always over Thanksgiving. There's issues with septic. Whatever schedule, you know, is recommended. If they just bought the house last year and had all this done, then, you know, they can wait a year or two. But my husband goes through and kind of checks everything and recommends to them what they need to have done. Some of it's a recommendation and some of it's a requirement. The deep cleaning is a requirement. We have to deep clean these properties in the fall.
Okay, so, and I agree with you. So that's a charge, I'm guessing, right? You don't just do this for free, obviously.
The maintenance is part of our like seasonal walkthrough, but okay. Then anything that comes from that would be a charge. Either they hire someone to do it or we facilitate that for them.
What about the fall? Like, what about the deep clean?
The deep clean is a charge, yes. Okay. And we prepare them for that from the beginning. So they know that that is coming. We do have some owners that want to do it themselves and that's completely fine as long as it's up to our standards.
Yeah, and we do the same, you know, we do it, we throw it out there. And, you know, for the most part, owners are like, absolutely, you know, let's get it done. And just, you know, just like a week ago, I went through, obviously, we spend a lot of time in our houses. So any house that had carpets that looked like they should get professionally cleaned, I sent out to the owners. And, you know, none of our owners anyway have said no, you know, so.
Right.
Thank God, because that's definitely the owners that we want to partner with.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, they have to plan for this, and it, like I said, it goes back to the onboarding process of explaining to them this is what we expect of you as an owner to keep up with, and you know this is what we'll offer for you, and working that out in the beginning so they're not, you know, taken aback by having to do that. They have to understand the importance of it. And that's our job to educate them on why it's so important to do this. And I find once you do that, they're perfectly fine with doing what needs to be done.
Yeah. We had an incident last night where, I don't know, it was around 9 o'clock and a guest but tech messaged us through the app. It was like, you know, the smoke alarm's going off. And in the kitchen, and we didn't even use the oven. That seemed a little strange to us. You know, we have little ones here. We just want to make sure that that it's safe. And then I forget the exchange that happened, but then like maybe 20 minutes went by and they said when the hot water tank turned on in the lower level in the basement, the smoke alarms went off again. So it caused them to be worried about carbon monoxide. And then, you know, I just, so basically in my head, I'm like, I'm trying to, you know, you're trying to picture whether they are an all-in-one carbon monoxide smoke detector, or do they have the ones that plug in, or, you know, it was like every, you know, you have so many properties that, you know,
yeah,
you manage, it's hard to remember each house. So then I'm like, oh gosh, did I, you know, did I drop the ball on that? You know, so I ended up, you know, telling them to call the fire department. They came, it all checked out, everything was fine. But it does bring you back, I think, to what we're talking about today, that you need to check these things. You know, you need to change batteries on smoke detectors once a year, you know. So it's a pretty extensive list that you've put together.
It's simple. I think it's simple for the most part. I think it's been born of guest complaints along the way that we've had, like for one instant, check the outdoor light bulbs. We don't use those in the summer. Usually people aren't necessarily turning on the outdoor lights, but now people will be arriving sometimes when it's dark out, even at what, 4:30, 5 o'clock, it's dark out, and not having that outdoor light and it's icy out, you know, somebody could get really hurt. So that's, you know, it's a simple fix, just change the light bulb. I think that these lists go out, realtors are great for like sending these postcards out and they're like, yeah, you know, it's a marketing thing. This is definitely not what we're trying to do here. It's really guest safety and, you know, protecting what the owner has. So salt and sand buckets are something that we get out on every porch for everybody, with making sure there's a shovel out there in case it snows while they're there and they can take care of the steps and whatnot, because we could get a large snowstorm and the guest is there for 4 days and they don't necessarily want us there, or whatever the plow situation is for shoveling steps and decks, they'll take care of it themselves.
Yeah, that's a great, that's a great point. So just on the salt and sand, you know, obviously that, I don't know, maybe you guys have, you know, buckets of that stuff hanging around after the winter, but do you turn that on to the, you know, I'm getting this for you guys, the Mr. Owner, Mrs. Owner, and this is the charge for like the bucket, send the sand.
Yes.
Once
they're with you for a while, they know, and they'll just, you know, they'll do it themselves.
Yeah, and have it set up for you.
Right.
But, you know, I think most owners do want, they want the easy button, right? That's why they hired us. They want.
Exactly.
Most of them don't want to deal with that stuff because they're, you know, they're 3 hours away or whatever. So.
Right. And I have, you know, a couple owners that just purchased their homes this year. And I said, have you hired your plow guy yet? And he's like, no, I haven't done it. And I, you know, they need to do it now because even though we don't snow. And then is your plow guy going to shovel the deck and the stairs and the walkways? Or is that another thing we need to think about because someone needs to do it?
Yeah, that's something we've always ourselves have taken care of for them at no charge, but it sometimes those decks are just a challenge, you know.
Yes, and you have to this is a conversation what we have too. You have to have access points, you know, for if you have two doors upstairs and one of them is a slider that goes to the deck, you have to make sure that that is clear, so if there's an emergency people can get out. If you have people who don't shovel their decks for the entire summer and people can't get out in an emergency, you know, you don't want that to happen. And it's not good for your deck to hold that much of a snow load, or your roof to hold that much of a snow load. There's a house in Madison that their upper deck collapsed onto the bottom deck the snow and ice. It could be a scary situation. So obviously you watch that throughout the winter while you're there, but you want to kind of have that in place. Who's going to do the shoveling? Sounds like it's going to be you.
Yeah, right.
But ordering, the other issue is getting your oil or propane on automatic delivery. We've had this happen where they don't want to do it. And we require that now. It has to be an automatic delivery because you forget to call and they run out of oil. And that's not a good experience for the guest. And if it happens when no one's there, you'll probably have burst pipes.
Well, that happened to us last year. The owner had said like, oh, you know, I am on automatic delivery. And then, you know, we got something delivered on the fly, thank gosh. And I remember running, they had a fireplace in the house. So I had to run wood over there, you know, and just get them through the night. And it was a nightmare for sure. And
stressful situation. I don't know if they, you know, sometimes when it comes to septics, a lot of owners live in the city and they're on town and they have to think about this. Yeah. So it's, you know, that's why we put signs up in our houses, right? Not to flush just anything, because people who aren't used to private septics aren't used to the upkeep that goes along with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's go through some of these items on here. Let me throw some out at you and let's see. So like replace the water filter in the fridge, just do it automatically. Like, but every fridge is different, right? So like, how do you figure that out?
That's something that, you know, we have a property that has this little filter, but, you know, blinking light that will come on. I mean, hopefully somebody sees that, because we have had a guest say something about that. Again, going back to this industry, we have guests that don't drink their public water. So when they come and there's a filter light out on this water, they're afraid to drink that water, because to them, that's the filtered water. You'd be proactive on that, you know, if that came up before, but it's something to keep in mind to check, just in case it's something that got overlooked during the busy season, because we're coming off this crazy summer where it's turn after turn after turn after turn. And these little tiny things can fall through the cracks, and it takes, you know, one guest to go in and be very upset about something like that.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I agree. So yeah, we'll keep moving on after that. So then you have take home inventory and replace anything needed. Like what, can you give some specifics?
So I'm sure, I know Julia is gonna be on board with me on this one. But there's things that go missing, you know, throughout the summer, a pot, a pan, a spoon. We have, my thing just came up weird, I'm sorry. We have a minimum inventory list of what we would like supplied in every house based off guest experience. And we're going through and just making sure that stuff's all there in the quantity that it needs to be. You know, if you sleep 8 guests, you want at least 8 cups in the cabinet for your guests. So we go through with that list. We take inventory when a house onboards, so we know what's in a property, and then we do it seasonally. So we're checking for items that may have gotten lost or missing, linens, pillows, mattress covers, all of those things that just seem to walk away. And part of the reason that we started doing that is actually for the owner, because, you know, owners may come up to their house, what, twice a year, maybe 3 times a year. And so I've always felt like we're looking at these little breakdown of things along the way, like, oh, your mattress cover's missing, a pillow's missing, you know, a kitchen chair broke. And these are little things we're seeing at every cleaning. But when an owner comes up and they get hit with all that at once and that hasn't been communicated, they're not aware, and, you know, half their cups in the cabinet are missing, they get really upset because they've invested money in all of these items when they opened up their property. So the expectation, who's doing the replacement, I think every property manager probably handles that differently. They will feel it's the guest. Some of it is, you know, part of hosting a vacation rental. There's some things that will need to get replaced, but making sure that everything is there that's supposed to be there. Again, we're coming up on holiday season. We're coming up on the winter season. People are inside a lot more, probably cooking a lot more than they were in the summer. In the summer, they're using the barbecue, but in the winter, they're using the kitchen. And they want these things available. So we have minimum inventory throughout the whole house of things that we want to have and make sure that every home has this list of items. And one of the reasons we do it is to keep ourselves straight. Like, we know in every house we require a Keurig and a regular coffee maker. So when a guest says what kind of coffee maker, we're not going, what is it on that house? And we'll pull up the listing and try to find it. We know every house has that because we've taken that inventory and had it set up in the beginning. So it kind of makes everything seamless with that.
So when you take on a new property, what I'm hearing is that you're inventorying, like, are you inventorying glass, like how many glasses, how many pots, how many pans, how many dishes? Are you inventorying like an actual count?
Yes.
That's awesome.
We do.
You do the same thing for all the linens? Like, you have X amount of towels and washcloths and sheets and.
Well, we source out our linens to a linen company, right. But yes, we used to do that. We used to go, because you know, linens get damaged and I don't know, we used to have like a box in the owner's closet where we'd kind of toss everything. But yeah, go through and make sure you have enough of everything to get through another season where we'll be facing turn after turn after turn.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Do you have them like sign off on it? Like when you put that list together?
No, we send the list to them, or we'll do it for them and share with them. And, you know, usually it's, you know, you need to get a couple more cookie tins, or, we need a few more pillows, or, you know, that kind of stuff. So they know what's going in the property in the beginning. And then when it comes, you know, this time of year, we'll say, you know, your pots and pans are really looking worn. We need to get a new set. And people don't usually mind having to fix those kind of things. But if you standardize to, you know, in my opinion, if you standardize what's in every house, it just makes everything a lot easier. We send out in our welcome books what is in the property. So like what's in the kitchen. So people don't show up expecting a KitchenAid mixer when that's not something that we have in there. So
yeah,
that's why we've done it this way with the inventory. But you know, it's to keep track of things for the owner too, because that's what they want us to do. We try to do it every cleaning, make sure things don't go missing. I don't count every fork and knife, but right. We want to make sure there's an ample supply for someone, you know, a guest having a meal and the house sleeps 10. You want to make sure there's plenty of forks and knives and spoons to go around.
No, that's all. That's great. Replace the shower liners. Is that like just do it automatically, or is it check it?
We try to have our cleaners keep up with that, but we have very hard water in this area and those things get just gross after a while. Yeah. That's part of our deep cleaning is we usually recommend the fabric liners because we can wash those and put them back up fairly easily. You can even put them up while they're still wet. That's part of our deep cleaning schedule, or replace them.
This is a man kind of question. Can you buy just a liner itself?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. I didn't know if it came like with the curtain.
Catch.
Oh gosh.
Hey, you don't know what you don't know. I'm learning a lot with our listeners right now. I'm going to guess the next one, but check the drains and the sink in the bathroom. Just make sure that they're flowing, right?
Yes, there. We do have, you know, that's all, you know, something you kind of do along the way too. But when our maintenance guy goes through a house, he's not necessarily turning on all the sinks and everything. And sometimes guests don't tell you. So especially the shower drains, you can pull up that little, it's gross. But you can pull up the little drain in there and there's usually a lot of gunk.
Ooh, yeah.
But a slow draining shower, we went on vacation and had it happen and it's so gross. I was very grossed out. Making sure maybe, you know, you have to put some Drano down. We also, this is on the deep cleaning list, which I did not put through, but we do run a cleaner through all of our dishwashers. The jet tubs all get cleaned. We throw dishwasher tabs in, fill a jet tub, turn the jet tub on, it cleans it. it's very gross what gets left behind when you drain it. The washing machine, we have that washing machine cleaner that you put through to wash the machine. And so yeah, just making sure all systems are a go.
This is slightly, I don't know what to say, relevant, not relevant. It's just a funny story about the tubs. We had a guest not that long ago complain that they said that one of the tubs was completely backed up and not draining. And I was like, oh gosh, that's horrible. And they checked out and I went in there and it turns out they had the stopper up. So it was up. And all I did was put the stopper down and I was like, oh, look at that, it's draining.
Yeah. And then you're like, I need to put a note on the side of the tub to make sure that no one else does this, right?
Yeah. But I was like, I don't know. I feel like that's pretty standard for every tub. So I don't know why you wouldn't know that, but it was just
true. Funny. Very but true.
We could tell guest stories. I feel like over the last 10 days, we've had a bunch that just are like, are you serious right now?
But it was one thing that's not on here, which I'm implementing this year, is how to use thermostats, because I had a guest this weekend. They couldn't figure it out. It was a very stressful. It was at midnight that he could not figure it out. And I couldn't figure it out myself. We just were like, why is this not working? We ended up having to move him to another property, just a horrible time. And it was just a simple button. So I do, and this, you know, goes back to the onboarding. If there's any quirks in the house or any special light, anything needs to be used, we need written instructions and put them up. So I'm going through all the thermostats because everyone's different. Yeah. And sometimes there's an override or sometimes there's a button to slide and just turning on the heat. So had we turned on the heat in the house before, which we do in the winter, but we're not right now, we would have known that something was off with the thermostat. Some of them have batteries that need to be changed. There's just so many kinds to mm-hmm. take care of. And you don't think of this until the first guest is there and it drops down to 40 degrees and they're wondering why they can't warm up.
Yeah. And I feel like after having to, you know, take care of all these houses in the winter with all the different thermostats, that the fancy ones are not always better. I like the old-fashioned dial where you just turn it to the temperature you want, and they don't usually fancy break. They're not confusing. And
the fancy wash machines too. Like I was just keep it simple. Just keep it basic. Yes. We don't. You know, right. The harder you make it, you know, keep it foolproof.
When you get these weird, you know, really high tech, you know, speaker systems or whole house computers or TVs, it's like, no, you have to try to think about, you know, anybody needs to be able to walk in and just know how to use it, because otherwise.
Exactly. Or you need to take the time to do some written instructions on how to use it, because it's, you know, hard to remember what every house has. And if it's a new house and you're not familiar with thermostat, which this one was, there's a menu button that needed to be overridden, but I didn't know that. And they're sending me pictures and it said heat is on, fan is on, but they're telling me it's not on. And, you know, so that's something that's getting added to my list this year. Make sure there's written instructions. And I'm actually getting to the point where I'm putting them right next to the item, because I'll say to the guests, this is actually in the welcome book. And they get a little irritated with that. So I'm walking the line of, I don't want signs all over the house, because that's kind of, you know, that kind of makes it not very homey, but at the same time, easy digestible pieces.
Right, because a lot of people don't read the welcome book and they want immediate answers. So it's like, how do you do that?
Or do you have, I don't know if you have any properties with a wood stove, but they'll call you and say, how do I start this? And I used to say, if you've never run a wood stove before, you should probably leave it alone.
Right, exactly. But if you don't know how to light a fire, then don't light a fire.
But we have written, you know, instructions written on, which is actually, I'm fairly certain that that's the law, that you have to have that up for any wood stove, or I think it's just wood stoves, but we do it for pellet stoves and even the electric fireplaces. We make sure that there's instructions there for that, and turning the stuff on and making sure it's working. And, you know, one of my owners just came up and cleaned his pellet stove. He does it himself every year. every change of season, and he kind of checks everything out. But if you have a pellet stove and they're not going to do that, those things can get really messy if they're not taken care of regularly. And, you know, chimneys should be regularly cleaned as well, or checked out.
Yeah. And even the gas fireplaces, you would think those are simple, but I find that people mess with them. They open up the panels and they turn off the pilot and they do all sorts of stuff to them. And then they're like, it won't work. It's like, yeah. You messed with it.
And I've had, you jacked the whole thing up, and now we need someone to come in and fix it. But I had a guest one time that had checked in, and it was one of those gas fireplaces, and it's a little complicated to use. They were following instructions and it wasn't coming on. And we're both kind of getting frustrated with one another. And we ended up sending someone out to take a look, and actually it wasn't working, but we didn't know that because it was, you know, one of those September bookings where it got kind of chilly that night.
Right.
And it was the first time anyone had turned it on since May. So going through and, you know, making sure that all of that stuff is working is part of it.
Yes. And easily kind of overlooked or forgotten when you're doing the walkthrough of the house or whatever, because
definitely
it's just an extra thing that all the stuff rattling around in your brain that you're trying to check off. And then it's, you know, you're not used to it because it's been summer and
right
now it gets chilly. People want the ambiance, even maybe not, maybe not always the heat, but more the ambiance. But yeah,
that's very true. Yeah. Very true.
Yeah, and the thing that's coming into my mind is to especially Julia and I, we are not normal, right? We're not normal people. We just really aren't. So when we think everyone is like us, what I mean by that is we don't have AC in our house. You know, we really I don't know if we ever really have. I'm sure we've had houses with central air, but we barely use it. And that's, I realize, is not normal. Most people need and want AC. They want it to be nice and at a certain temperature. But if we manage our properties to our liking and not to the overall guests that we're getting, then we're failing, I think, as a host. So, and I'm just thinking about, you're so right with the change of temperature. Like this week, the sun's out right now, thankfully.
Barely,
But it's been chilly and raw. But to us, it's been like, it's not really that bad. You know, we don't have the heat on in our house, but almost every property that was stayed at over the last weekend probably turned the heat on, you know,
right.
So all to what you all just said, you know. And then pilot lights go out in these electric stoves, and you know, that's another thing, gas stoves, not electric. And that's another thing, you know. So, yeah, I think it's all good stuff for sure.
And we make sure, so we have emergency or first aid kits in every house. We have a drawer, the kitchen drawer, with the flashlight and emergency kit and whatever. And throughout the summer, those get picked at and gone through. So we like to make sure those are replenished. I can't believe how many times people have used first aid kits in houses. It's something I added a couple of years ago to the list, and I'm glad that we did. Or we very rarely lose power, but have you had a guest lose power while they're there? They absolutely freak out. You know, when's it coming back? And so we try to spearhead that off, that could easily happen. Some areas are more prone to it than others, depending on where your home is, but that they have the emergency, you know, flashlights. It just makes them feel a little safer. We don't do candles. We can do the battery operated candles, and that's, you know, another thing in the drawer. We have started keeping batteries, different size batteries in the drawers, because that's something we seem to get calls on a lot. The remote's not working.
Yeah.
And it's just a battery issue. And if they don't have battery, then you have to bring them the batteries or
biggest, you know, kind of annoyance is batteries and light bulbs.
Oh, I agree. That's my biggest complaint, is light bulbs. And I always tell the cleaners, you have to turn the lights on, and they don't always do it. But yes, people get very upset if light bulbs are out.
Yes.
So we make sure we have the owner get whatever kind of light bulb there is, in the home and put it above the refrigerator. So there's always light bulbs there. And that would be another thing that we take stock of when we're doing inventory to make sure. Because it's much easier for the guests to change a light bulb than it is for us to try to remember what kind of light bulb, because there's 100 of different kinds of those as well.
Right.
And go to Lowe's and grab 5 boxes and hope one of them fits, whatever it is, if the guests can just do it. Because guests, especially now with COVID around, do not want people entering the house.
Right.
So any way you can make it so they can be able to take care of something themselves is better all the way around.
Yeah. And we did have one of our owners, like there was some really weird, like there's millions of different kinds of light bulbs. And there was a really weird one out. And the owner was like, well, don't you just have every kind of light bulb like ready to be switched out? And we were like, we can't have stock in, like, right. We don't have a giant warehouse full of millions of different kinds of light bulbs. Like we can't. So we were like, that's your responsibility. And they were like, what?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I don't think they realize how many different kinds of light bulbs there are.
And I don't know why. It seems like lights go out in rental homes. And I don't know if it's the temperature changes, but it feels like all we're doing is replacing light bulbs and lamps and ceiling fans. And obviously we'll never guess to a ceiling fan because that's usually high up. But I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with light bulbs always being out, but it seems like every time there's a cleaning, there's a light bulb out.
Yes.
Well, earlier this morning we chatted on text and I was like, I have to go hit some houses. And you're like, made a joke, which wasn't funny, by the way. and you're usually funny. So anyway, I won't pick on you. I was actually bringing batteries, AAA batteries to a house because the remote wasn't working. So to your point, this is really good stuff that's easily overlooked and it's not sexy, you know, it's important for many reasons, you know, never mind getting great reviews, which you might not think this is related to, but more importantly, keeping your guests safe, you know. So now, you know, I'm writing notes as you and Julia were talking, and it's like, all right, yeah, I don't know who has batteries anymore. I don't know who has light bulbs in their houses anymore. So I feel like I need to go through and do what we're talking about myself. So that's good stuff. You know, the other day I did change a light bulb in a fan light that was way up. And I realized that they didn't have a string attached to it anymore, you know, or chain or whatever. So I had to go buy a chain for that because the guests could turn. They couldn't use the fan because the fan was attached to the light bulb because the string wasn't there for the light part of the fan, you know? So it's like,
right.
You don't think about some of these things, you know, we did have a guest to your outdoor light issue. This one, actually, he just couldn't find the switch because it was like tucked behind the door, but you're right. We haven't turned those light bulbs out on for 3 months. So.
Right.
It's really good.
It's funny, this weekend I had 3 different guests comment that the ceiling fans were dusty, and some of them are really up high, and I'm assuming that the girls didn't notice it when they were cleaning because they were on. It's been a brutally hot summer, but now they're not on. So we have to send these high dusters out and get, you know, these high ceiling fans in the corners, because I went into one house and I was like, my goodness, how did all that dust get on that ceiling fan in 2 months? But it happens.
Well, and I think, you know, I also think it's just basically having one-on-one conversations with each cleaner to say, okay, things have changed. We're not in the summer anymore. You can take a deep breath. You know, you don't have to run through this house at lightning speed because maybe you have to hit 5 houses, which you did multiple times in a row in the summer. So let's just take a deep breath and let's go back to the basics. You know, and I think ceiling fans is a basic that probably just, like you said, they're on more in the summer, so that they're not cleaned, and windowsills and, you know, screens and that kind of thing, I think, is another thing that gets kind of skimmed over when you're busy, you know? So I think it's really, important to do that for sure.
Well, the deep cleaning makes the cleaning for the off season much, much easier. And I always see a pattern. We're seeing it right now where guests aren't necessarily complaining, but I'm going in the houses and you're kind of like, yeah, it's looking tired. Like you can tell this floor needs a good scrubbing. And, you know, we do a turnover cleaning and it's a little quicker, but the deep cleaning, I feel like gets the house up to speed and makes that process for the staff so much easier to get the houses ready quickly when we get in back into that season. So deep cleanings are so important. And I don't know how you know, but you can go in a house and just know if it's clean. Even if it looks clean, you just have the feeling of clean.
Yeah.
Windows are a big one, having the windows clean. There's nothing nicer than watching snow fall out a window in the winter. And if the windows are, you know, blurry or whatever happens. So we love getting the windows cleaned in the fall. And it's pretty out. Like the trees are pretty. If you have a view, you want to take advantage of that. So I think sliders get, you know, cleaned every time. But windows don't necessarily get that. And they might not look dirty until you clean them. And then you're like, wow.
So I'm looking at your list that you sent us, and it says to prepare guests for the cooler weather. And I know we've talked about the thermostat stuff and the stoves and the wood stoves. But you also have on here, like what to do in a snowstorm. Like what I think I know what you're going to say, but go ahead and say what you're going to say. And then I'll let you know.
The biggest thing is the plow guy, when he shows up at the house, needs to be able to plow the driveway.
100%.
So if they're not cleaning off their cars and moving, the plow person cannot plow that driveway. So we've had incidences where the plow person shows up, he's beeping the horn, they're not coming out, and he moves on to the next driveway. And now this house gets put to the bottom of the list for the day.
Yeah.
And then you have guests mad that we're trying to get out and we can't. And so that's one of the things we have, you know, during a snowstorm, we don't know when the plow person will be there. They show up when it works for them. We can't expedite your driveway. You know, that's not how it works. At least any plow guy I have ever worked with.
Yeah.
But when he comes, he'll beep his horn. You need to clean off your car and here's where you can move it. So we try to have a spot where they can, you know, park across the street while he's plowing or whatnot to get them in there. So that's, you know, one thing. And we do have a sand and salt and sand and a shovel. So we let them know, you know, that that's for them to be able to use. And that's, you know, kind of it, you know, just being ready for when it snows, letting them know that, when approximately that driveway might be plowed. Or I've had people arrive in the middle of a snowstorm and get angry that the driveway is not ready, but the plow guy's making his rounds.
Right.
So it's kind of a, hey, our plow guy's working hard. He's doing a lot of driveways and he's getting to as soon as he can. Like, why don't you cooperate with him on this process?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's kind of the same thing with like when we lose power, everyone wants to know, like, do we know what time the power's coming back on? It's like, well,
right.
You know, I'd be pretty popular because then everyone would be talking to me. But it's like, I have no idea when the power is coming back on. And I also have no idea when the plow guy is coming.
Exactly.
Okay. So on here, you have review your listing and how it appears on portals, change language, update header, adjust the photos for the season. That's really good. And I do think that gets forgotten, you know, especially, you know, up here where we do have just awesome change of seasons, you know, like it can really affect your bookings, don't you think?
It can, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. You know, people are coming up right now because they want to see the leaves.
Yeah.
So showing photos of the house in the fall, if you can get a few of them, if it has a pretty maple tree that's turning, and area, you know, different areas that are nice, you know, Kangamingas Highway in the fall is beautiful. So we always put that on there. But different scenic views for them. In the summer, we'll do more, you know, Storyland and hiking hiking views in the winter, you know, the ski mountains, so they can see that. I've always done that. I try to change out, you know, my photos so that there's not a photo of snow in the winter. I mean, I'm sorry, in the summer, yeah, and vice versa, because you're creating that experience when they're looking through photos. And I don't know about you, but when I go to a listing, the first thing I do is look at the photos. I scroll through and I'm seeing, and you should have the experience as they're seeing the photos going, wow, this is so pretty. Oh my goodness, this is so close to this, you know, this location, and they get excited to book the property.
100%, you know, and I, you're telling a story. And the other thing I would add is that's why those first probably four photos are critical, because yeah, if they don't get past those four to the other photos, then they right, probably just scrolled down and went to the next list. So,
right,
you know what, and I've never looked at your listings at all, but one thing I don't know if it's me with a pet peeve or whatever, but I really, unless the outside of the house is amazing, I really don't like leading with the outside of the house. Unless
I don't either.
Picture of a lake or a beautiful mountain or whatever, you know, I really do believe that first shot needs to be breathtaking if at all possible, you know, so.
Right. I agree.
I think we can do a show on that, on what we're talking about.
We could.
Yeah.
We absolutely could. And I think, you know, changing your heading up to, instead of being, you know, close to Storyland, which is closed in the winter, you right, know, close to Cranmore Mountain. So when people are searching, they can find that. And I think that we just owe that to our owners to do this. You know, we're here to promote their listing and do, you know, well for them. And I don't think a listing is a set it and forget it. I think you should always be changing around the wording for the seasons. And it doesn't take a whole lot of time to do it.
I totally agree. I'm probably, you know, one thing I do, I don't even know if I want to say this on this show because it's a secret, but I will, I guess. And it's not 100% related to our topic tonight, but one thing I do when we fall out of the busy seasons is, and yeah, I can only do this on Airbnb, but I'll go through Airbnb's calendars and I will use the ability to, they have a promotion, unless it's a yeah, new listing, and you can give a percentage off. And I don't percent off the weekends because we still book every weekend up here, but it's a little harder to fill the first 3 weeks during the week of September, for example, up here, and probably the first couple of weeks in November. So I like to run, without tweaking my prices tremendously, I like to run that discount, because then Airbnb, if you hit 20% on there, they send it out to all of their email that they have, which you imagine how many emails they have.
Right.
They also promote it on the site itself. So it helps you to rank higher and get into those first two pages on Airbnb. So.
Yeah, that's great. I do mine through Price Labs. I set my pricing in there and it does update, but I actually didn't know on Airbnb that you could offer that discount. I never paid attention to it.
Well, you've given a lot more to me today than I've given to you, so you're welcome.
Thank you.
Because I've gotten a ton out of this episode. All right, so I'm looking at the end of your fall cleanup thingy list, and it says, oh, this is good. I just read this for the first time. Review past seasons with guests. What did they need the most help with? Have the most questions about? Find ways to solve issues to improve guest experience. You want to just elaborate on that?
So I have a lot of people that help me with this business. I have a virtual assistant and I have an office manager, and they deal a lot more with the guests. Obviously, I see everything that's going on, but they're kind of the boots on the ground for me more. And we will meet up, and this is probably where this list has been born from. Okay, what are our problems? You know, the batteries. It stinks to have to run up batteries from Tamworth to Bartlett at 7 o'clock on a Friday night because the remote's not working. So we kind of powwow at the end of every season and try to find ways that we can make things go smoother, make them better, touch base with our owners, and just be a better company overall. And the input of other people that are doing this, even our cleaners. I think as much as we're trying to take frustration away from guests, I think we should be taking frustration away from the cleaners. It's a hard job. You know, what can we do to make your job a little easier out there? And those usually tell you exactly what they think. You know, this house, you know, has 300 stairs to get in and it's exhausting by the time I get in there. And so we'll troubleshoot a way to make, you know, that particular cleaning a little easier on the cleaners.
That's fantastic. Okay. So I think we're pretty much coming to the end of the episode. Did we miss anything on that we should have talked about that we didn't talk about? Anybody?
I think the only thing is we update our welcome books seasonally as well. I was doing digital. It wasn't working well for me. I have the print welcome book now, and they get a little icky. And so we usually will update them or add any, you know, based on this, we meet and find out, you know, every guest is asking the same question about, you know, the wash machine. We'll come up with something to put that in the welcome book for them. So it becomes a more comprehensive as we go. And it's funny, I find our welcome books on night bedside tables a lot. So I'm like, is it night reading? Like they're skimming through, but people love the welcome books and it's kind of expected. So we do clean those up and make sure those are nice and pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I happened to go look at a condo that you actually were managing. I didn't sell it, by the way. So.
Yes. My baby condo.
Yeah. So I saw your welcome book and I didn't have time to look at it, but it was very professional looking and it was definitely your, you know, it was definitely like, you know, Red Maple was the, you definitely knew you were the manager. You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm articulating that well, but let me ask you this. Is there inside that welcome book, is there a way, do you entice guests to come back and book direct? Let's say they didn't book direct this time. Is there anything in there that does that or no?
I haven't done it in the welcome book and it's my goal in 2022 to drive more direct bookings. So we're working on how to make that happen. But right now my system's a little bit sloppy on that with making it happen. But one of the reasons why we're so branded when we're there is so that people know. I always think of the franchise effect, which I'm not, but they know what to expect if they book with us again and they book another house, that they can expect the same, hopefully positive experience they've had with us along the way. And it makes them a little more comfortable. So that's the kind of the reason behind why we do that the way we do.
Yeah. It's interesting to think about what we're talking about. And I think this could be another episode also. It's kind of like, what does the guest want? You know, do they want the big La Casa experience or even to our level, you know, like, do they want, you brought up franchise, which we're not franchise, but I know what you meant by that. You know, you go to McDonald's, you know what you're going to get. You know what I mean? It's the right. Same French fries in New Hampshire as it is in Florida. So
right.
Does that bring peace? And
I think it does. I think this trepidation with booking direct, people have a sense of security when they book on Airbnb.
Yeah.
So booking off that, you know, you hear of scams all the time. I booked this house, I showed up and it doesn't exist. So having that, building that relationship with them while they're there makes them feel secure in, you know, booking direct next time.
Yeah. Yeah. We are not, you know, we're in the same boat you're in. We're not even close to getting enough direct bookings, you know, and I've had some issues with Airbnb a little bit lately where I was like, yeah, I really don't have control, you know?
it's very true.
I do love them overall. I think they're great. I think, you know, I think they're a blessing to the industry, not like other people. I've heard other people just bash them, but I really do admire them as a company. But there's times when they I know they're thinking they're doing the right thing, but it hurts sometimes because it's, I don't necessarily agree. Well, awesome. I mean, Julia, do you have anything to add to today's conversation on fall cleanups and all that?
I mean, stuff? I was just going to continue and agree with what Stephanie said about the direct bookings, about people feeling comfortable, because I think people want to have a large company that they can complain to or think that that company has their back, or, you know, instead of just
right.
A regular person that they don't know. And if they have a problem and they complain to us, what are we going to do about it? I think they like to be able to be like, oh, I can call Airbnb and Airbnb will take care of it.
Yeah.
Right.
The only other thing I would add is that I feel like for the most part, owners have no problem replacing linens, but I do feel like a lot of people that are just starting out kind of along the same fall cleanup or deep clean kind of seasonal, like you are mm-hmm. going to have to replace all your linens and towels and
right.
face cloths and hand towels and kitchen towels. And I feel like people that are just starting out renting don't realize that. Cause I've had people say like, well, what happened to all the washcloths I bought 3 months ago? It's like, well, they're gone. Like they're all either staying or the guest took them, or I don't know what happens to the washcloths, but I feel like they disappear weekly. They're all just gone all the time, which I don't get. Yeah. So, but I feel like that's the biggest thing that new people don't understand, is that you constantly, not every once in a while, maybe like kitchen stuff, but mostly it's the sheets and the towels, and that I feel like every season needs to be replenished.
Right. I think linens have I've always, when we were doing linens, I always told our owners, it has a 6 month shelf life and you'll be replacing these. So it's the cost of doing business, because now you are running, you know, a business. When you begin hosting your home, and there's certain things that you're just going to have to plan to replace. And it is a tough barrier to get over with an owner. Who's responsible for this? You know, who's
responsible? Yeah, because the owners a lot of times say like, well, oh, they stained my towel. Well, the guests should pay for that. And it's like, you can't be charging every guest for a new towel every time, because it doesn't make good business sense, because you're just going to make people angry. So
exactly. It's going to irritate them. And they need to budget for that. And I've had some conversations where, listen, you made $7,000 this month.
Right.
You can replace a few ways of cloth. You're fine.
Yeah.
So, awesome. I think that, you know, goes back to good onboarding, and, you know, a new owner who's never done this before just doesn't know what to expect. And that's why they're looking to us to show them, try to keep the surprises down for them as much as you are for the guest.
Right.
Yeah. That's so important. So Steph, can we share your list that you sent to our listeners? Is that okay? Or are you?
Absolutely.
So we'll include that in our show notes on our website. The Superhost Unveiled website where we put the podcast. All right. Any last words of wisdom? Are we good?
I'm good.
Stephanie, I don't think so.
All right, everyone. Okay. Thank you very much for listening to Superhost Unveiled. I hope you got as much out of this episode as I have. Thank you very much, Stephanie, for putting this, podcast together. It was amazing. And I definitely learned a ton. Thank you, Julia, for being here as well. And we'll see you next time. Have fun hosting out there.
All right. Have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care, Steph.